This is a Talking Digital production. Find more great podcasts at talkingdigital.org.
Over 10 years ago, Rick Castellini and Adam Cochran joined forces on radio to answer people's computer questions, to find solutions to those problems that burdened even the most average human. Today, that mission continues as we answer those questions here on this podcast. This is Castellini on Computers, the podcast.
Get ready.
Yeah. You don't have to do an intro.
Keep all that in there for me.
We can still do the...
Keep the throat clearing in there.
Maybe I'll make that part of the intro. Maybe I'll turn it into music.
There you go.
I'll auto-tune it. That works.
You could do that.
Yeah, no, you can still say you can find us here and there and all that, but we don't need to say what we are and who we are anymore. Fix that.
Okay.
I'll still change the music, but haven't got that far yet.
Well, we'll just go. I'm going to talk about news.
Okay, let's do it.
I'm not in the realm there to create an intro. Because thing that I wanted to ask you, because you were talking about your Froyo update.
Yes.
But I've seen a couple of news stories this week that I've not investigated yet. Okay. Because I don't have an Android.
Right.
But it said that the Android market gets a huge redesign to help people discover apps more easily.
Yeah.
And have you seen a big difference?
Well, if they say it's a huge redesign, it's probably an infrastructure thing, not the way it looks now. See, I haven't gone into it. I was in it last night, and it didn't really change much visually. This is what the Android market looks like, if you haven't seen that lately.
Well, but
to help you find stuff.
Like, if you were to search... Well, here's an app that I received, I bought it for, I think, 99 cents. It's called Quick Picks for my iPhone.
Okay.
Unbelievable. It takes about 8 frames a second.
Right. I've heard of that.
Oh, my goodness. It is great.
That's very cool.
It's just bam, bam, bam. And I've used it for a couple weeks.
They're not full resolution, though, are they?
Yes.
They are?
Yes.
Oh, see, I imagine that it just
cut
down the resolution.
They're full resolution pictures.
Wow, so it just makes kind of electronic shutter sort of thing. Wow.
That's very cool.
Wow, you could fill your card up real fast.
I took 180 pictures over the weekend. Didn't even realize it took that many.
Oh,
because it does it so quickly.
That's cool.
But I do like it. Quick Picks, P-I-X.
Yeah, there's no such one for this, but for the Android. But who knows? Maybe there's something similar.
So, but you haven't played around with it enough to know yet.
I haven't noticed any real big... Like I said, it's under the hood.
Okay.
So I haven't done enough searching for anything. Maybe it looks at which apps you've already downloaded and tries to recommend other ones that are similar.
Okay.
But I don't think that's necessarily helpful, because usually if I download an app and I like it, I don't want something similar. I'm happy with the one I have. But
hey, I'm going to run real quickly through some statistics. And
okay.
I want you to kind of chime in with the answer to your question, because you're an iPad owner. I don't own an iPad yet.
Okay.
But here is they'll probably tell me at the very end. Let me look real quickly. This is a survey that, they've had 850, almost 900 responses.
Okay.
From Business Insider.
Okay.
And this is about the iPad.
All right.
So I'm glad I found how many people there. Good. All right. First question. Hold on a second. First question.
Okay.
Which iPad do you own?
You want me to answer?
Sure.
iPad 2 and iPad 1.
Yeah. Okay, so 52% of the people that answered this had the iPad 1.
Okay.
47% iPad 2.
Okay.
And there's decimal points in there, so don't get on me about my math. How many iPads are in your household?
2.
You're with 23% of respondents.
Wow.
That is amazing. 23% of people responded, they said there's 2.
You know, I think it wants one person, in a relationship, when one person gets one, the other part, it is a very custom device.
Is it?
You know, it's kind of like trying to share an iPhone or
a cell or something.
Yeah, it doesn't work. Once you have it set up, then the other person says, oh, my wife did that. She's like, oh, I could do a lot of stuff with this when she got to playing with it. And so we got hers.
So that's it. Now 70% have one.
Uh huh.
But that 23% owning two, that was higher than I might expect.
Yeah. Yeah, they're his and hers device, I think.
Cool. On average, how many hours a day do you use your iPad? Ooh. On average,
I would say 2.
on average 2.
Which is more than I've ever used a laptop in my life, on average.
And you're with 36% of the respondents to this particular survey, 41%, the highest in the breakdown here, said they use it between 2 and 5 hours.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a broad, 2 to 5 hours to me.
If I worked outside of my house more, where I didn't have a computer and I was traveling or something like that, I would certainly use it a lot more.
But I wish they would have broke that down to 0 to 2.
Yeah.
And then 3 to 5.
Right.
Because 2 to 5, that's a big range. Because if you're really using it 2 hours versus 5 hours, there's a lot of difference.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too.
I would have worded that a little different.
Yeah, I really think I'm probably pushing the 3. I'm probably not. I'm closer to 3 than I am to 1. Yeah.
Okay. How has your iPad usage changed since your initial experimentation period? Increased, decreased, or stayed the same?
You know, slightly decreased.
Really?
Yeah.
And that's because you experimented so much at the beginning?
Well, the first time when you first get anything, I think you play with it tons. And so I'm talking about after the first week.
Okay.
It's slightly decreased, but you know, again.
Okay, well, now let's see that. Oh, okay, they did.
Okay.
We got to read the question more thoroughly.
Okay.
Since your initial experimentation period. So after that first week.
Oh, it stayed the same.
Okay, so you're saying. So 60% said it increased after the experimentation period. 27% stayed the same.
Yeah.
And then
if you think about it, a laptop, you get that laptop and you're like, oh, I'm going to put this on, put that up. You're kind of different because you're roving. But most people who get their laptop, once they get it all built and everything, they lose interest. And it's not that they leave it alone, but they think of it as a utility.
Right.
The iPad still, to me, has that fun factor that takes it a little bit above something being a new, utility.
A little bit can find.
I mean, it's certainly a utility, but it's not something that, you know, it's something I still enjoy playing with.
Right. It's not so utilitarian that you don't pick it up.
Exactly.
Right. Okay. How has your iPad become your primary computer? Has your iPad become your primary computer, or do you still use it less than your laptop or desktop?
It has become my primary laptop, but not my primary computer.
Okay. And so this one says 40% say it is now my primary.
Wow.
60% say I still use a laptop or desktop more often.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting.
Yeah, you know, it's getting more and more to be 50-50, though.
Mm-hmm.
It really is.
Because you're finding more tools.
I'm finding more tools, and I'm also finding that it keeps my emails shorter when I know that I don't want to sit down and write 3 paragraphs in a response.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, the only thing I really use my desktop for now is stuff where I want to write a rather lengthy article or when I need Photoshop. That's about it.
Now, do you find, though, that... Because you and I both use dual screens,
right,
on our desktops.
Yeah.
Do you find that you miss that when you go to the iPad? I find I miss that when I'm using my laptop.
I do when I'm doing stuff like, you know, because, you know, you see my setup. I keep one of my Gmail accounts open on one screen and another Gmail account open on another.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I would say that there's certainly times where I think, oh, it'd be nice. But at the same time, I don't use it like a laptop. I use it like a tablet, which... Okay. I think is a difference that a lot of people don't realize until they have one.
You're not trying
to
replace it. Yeah.
Yeah. You're not trying to use it as a computer.
Make
you're
it
trying
do to things use it, as a it tablet. Can't do.
Exactly.
Right.
And I think laptops, we still tend to use them as a computer.
Did you get a Bluetooth keyboard yet for the new one?
I have one that somebody gave me a long time ago, and I use it. It works okay.
Or like this one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, that's it. That's the one I have. I haven't bought one that goes with it in a case or anything. I probably won't.
But you do use a keyboard occasionally.
Occasionally, but I've found that I, with a little practice on the iPad, I can still type with 2 hands. I'm normally 60 to 80 words a minute, and I can do about 30 to 40, I think, on the iPad, which is good enough for writing a basic email.
Cool. Okay. What percentage of your iPad usage time do you spend doing the following?
Okay.
This isn't involved.
We'll
do a couple of these.
Okay.
What percentage of the time do you use the iPad for web browsing?
Probably 75%.
Really?
Probably.
Yeah, see, that's a lot more. 34% is what the respondent said.
Yeah.
How about using email, Facebook, or Twitter?
What do you mean by web browsing there? Because is news on the item on the list? Because news apps, which are web-based, is really what I spend a lot of time using it for.
But I would think I would think the question that you're right. I think there's.
But if they're talking about just going into Google and looking through Google for stuff, then it goes way down. It does go to probably 25% of the time.
Okay.
Just for searching, surfing the web randomly. Yeah, because see, then they have using
email, Facebook, Twitter, and or other communication, which I would think with the news apps.
Yep. Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I would use Facebook. I would say Facebook's probably 40%,
40-45%.
Oh, Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook, Twitter, email, and or other communications.
Wow, they combine them all.
Yeah, so that would include, I think, your news apps and your...
Well,
your
communications, though, I think of as being more two-way. So yeah. Twitter and Facebook and...
Email.
And email. Those are all correspondence stuff. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So all of those I would put fairly close to 50%, maybe 45%.
Okay. Respondents at 20%.
Wow.
Watching videos?
Oh, boy. That's maybe 10%. Maybe.
And they said 12.
Yeah.
And using other apps.
Well, see,
that's pretty broad. They have games there.
Yeah. If they put news in there, Zeit and Flipboard, if they would have put those things in there, then those things are right up there with my Facebook time. So
cool. All right. Which percentage of the time?
Okay.
This might get old. We might have to stop this.
No, that's okay. People are interested.
In fact, I'm going to skip that one.
Okay.
Because
I don't look at porn.
No, I didn't have that.
Oh, okay.
I'm just going to quickly. Okay, here we go. This is a good one. How many iPad apps have you downloaded? It's a simple one.
I think probably 100.
Okay, so probably. You're in the second highest category, 50 okay. plus, 30%.
I think said people that. Who say 50 plus
don't realize
how many they've downloaded.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's real easy to get to 100.
Yeah, 20 to 50 is 38%.
Uh-huh. Sure.
10 to 20 is 21%. So the highest are on the heavy end there.
Yeah.
I have 70, I think, for my iPhone.
Yeah, well, here's my problem. Is my wife and I, because we buy apps and we use a lot of the same apps, we share the same computer to sync with, so I end up with all the same apps she does on hers. And vice versa. So we do go through and delete them out when they're ones we don't want. So
that is possible that you can buy the app once and get it on both devices?
You can buy it for the iPhone and then use it on your iPad.
Well, I know that.
Yeah, you know, you can buy it on both. Now, the daily does require, from what I've been able to tell, a subscription from each iPad.
Okay.
But most of the apps, yeah, we're using...
If you're syncing to the same computer. If
we're syncing to the same computer, yeah, we just...
Cool.
We just sync it on both. So
well, then, but because it syncs your, it also syncs your position of your icons and stuff. Does your iPads look similar?
No, because it still treats them as two separate iPads.
That's true.
But you purchased it, they still let you sync the apps to that that device. So yeah, all the icons, all that stuff stays the same.
But you get the music, benefit of not having to buy an app twice.
Exactly, you don't have to buy the app twice.
Cool. Good. Yeah. That's a good point.
We don't buy a lot of apps, but we do.
How many of this is the next question.
Yeah.
How many of the iPad apps have you paid for?
Of the 100, I would say we've probably purchased 10. So 10% probably.
That's it. Yeah, 10 to 20 is the highest.
Yeah.
It's almost tied with 1 to 5.
Yeah.
So it's kind of interesting that they are there's a huge number. I think that's
Do they have 0 on the list?
Yes, 5%.
Yeah, see,
just 5%.
See, that is actually the cool statistic.
Right.
Because you could get by with all free apps if you were willing to limit yourself. But Apple has done such a good job at making the iPad, you know, so useful that people are actually willing to pay the extra money to get the paid apps. It's only 5%.
I think the other thing that's going to push people into buying more is the in-app ads. That they've just now instituted.
Right.
Because those in-app ads are starting to become more and more prevalent in free things.
Right.
And some of them are pretty intrusive.
Some of them are really obnoxious. Yeah. I downloaded an alarm clock last night, and this alarm clock app put the ad. It didn't put it over the top, and they never put it over the top of anything you absolutely need.
Right.
But they put it in places that annoy you just enough to make you wonder what you're missing. Like, for example, Angry Birds will throw the app up in the top right corner.
Uh-huh.
And there's nothing that you really need there, except for it gets your eye every time you go in the middle of the trajectory of the bird. You have this little ad right there, and so you've got to move it. I've bought two apps because I didn't like where the ads were.
Yeah,
so it works.
Yeah, so it works. The app that I have for an alarm clock is called Nightstand.
Okay.
And I forgot. I did a little bit of research for it. And I found it, and the reason I ended up going with it is, A, it was only 99 cents,
uh-huh.
But what I wanted was something that I could customize the music and uh-huh. different things.
Yeah.
But the developer was very responsive.
Yeah.
And so I stayed with it because he had some little bit issues in version one, mm-hmm. but he was very responsive in correcting them and getting sure. back to the people who would
cool.
give him feedback. And it's a great little app. So you can do, obviously, multiple alarms. You can do a sleep function at night cool. if you want to put a little playlist yeah. on. That's cool. kind of cool.
Very
cool.
Right in. Yeah, I downloaded one, and it just had way too many features. And I just want an alarm clock. I do like alarms that are not obnoxious. So I like the ones right. that sound kind of like
I need a xylophone, unfortunately.
Something like that. Yeah, I prefer to be woke up.
Well, I like subtly. The music, though. The music is nice, I guess, because like, then it sets it to where you can... It fades in.
Yeah.
So it's not blaring at right. you right away.
Right.
But then eventually you say, okay, music's playing. I better
yep.
get up.
Get up. Yep. Cool.
Okay, apps. Other yes. than the pre-installed ones.
Okay.
So in other words, the ones you just okay. bought.
Yes.
How many of these iPad apps do you use on a regular basis?
Of the 100 apps that I have?
Yes.
Is that what it's asking?
Yes. How many of them do you use on a regular basis? So Zeit in Flipboard.
I'm going to say... 10 to 15.
Okay, and that's...
On a regular... I don't go a week without using them.
Okay. Yeah. So the most is 6 to 10.
Okay.
40%.
All right.
Answered that.
Yep.
The second most was 10 to 20.
Yeah.
That's pretty interesting. So people are using a good portion of the apps they're buying. Certainly not all of them.
Right.
On a regular basis. Okay, and here's the one that'll get for you.
Okay.
When you consume news...
Yes.
Online.
Right.
Do you usually use the iPad's web browser, the news site iPad apps like MSNBC, CNN, things like that?
Okay.
Or use a news reader like Reader or Flipboard?
Yeah, the news reader by far. I do have, you know, I've installed the USA Today app. I mm-hmm. like it.
Mm-hmm.
I have a few news apps from the companies, like you said, the
CNN,
Fox News, and those things. But really, it's Zeit and Flipboard that get me most of my news.
And interestingly enough, and this is probably to be expected because the iPad is in the hands of a lot of non-geeks.
Right.
Only 28% use a specific reader.
Wow.
The most people use it on a web browser.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting.
That is weird.
Yeah.
But maybe there's not a lot of people out there reading
news. I had a guy the other day who was creating bookmarks on his iPad, but instead of creating an actual bookmark, he was creating the bookmark on his... on his home screen. So his home wow. screen was littered
oh my gosh.
With bookmarks. And,
wow.
and I finally saw he made one. And I said, "Do you do that because you want to do that?" And he said, "I thought that's the only thing I could do."
Oh, yeah.
Even though it says right there, add to home screen or add to bookmarks.
Right.
He added it to his home screen. So right. he must have had 10 or 11 pages.
Wow.
That you had to flip through.
I didn't know you could do that, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, he had a ton. It was crazy. Okay, now here's just a very simple one. Do you read books on your iPad?
Yes.
Yep, 72% people say
they
do.
I would say yes, but not for leisure as much as for necessity because of being a student. If I wanted to read a book and just enjoy a book, if I read that way,
right.
I don't read that way. I usually have a book around or something like that. But if I was a person to buy digital books, mm-hmm. I really still would buy a Kindle.
Really?
Yeah.
You wouldn't use the Kindle app?
I wouldn't use the Kindle app, no.
So I think the Kindle app is awesome.
No, if I was a reader... No, I think so too, but I love just how easy the Kindle is on your eyes.
Yeah.
The iPad still yeah. makes my eyes tired.
But I have heard that people say that the Kindle app, if they read... Well, probably have to read more.
Right.
But that it does bother their eyes after a certain time also.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it bothers my eyes. Even for my textbook reading... My iPad bothers my eyes, but what I love about the iPad, and I answered this from somebody just yesterday, in fact,
mm-hmm.
the advantage to the iPad is that you can get everything, the Kindle, the Nook, the,
right.
you know, the Kobo, whatever that one's called that Borders
yeah,
used to
Kobo
do,
readers,
but it's still out there. But you can get an app
we didn't talk
that reads
about,
all of those.
Not Borders, but about the Nook, the Color Nook. We'll talk about that here after
yeah,
this interview.
Good stuff about the Color Nook.
Yeah, we didn't talk yeah. about that yet. Okay, I like the wording of this question.
Okay.
Have you bought one of those new sexy MacBook Airs?
Ooh. All right, you do like that one. So, yeah, there you go. Good job.
Have you bought it?
I'm not going to. Yeah, but you have.
The no is 91%.
Really?
Yeah, and that's what happened to me. Mm-hmm. To me, I was deciding between an iPad
right.
and the MacBook Air.
You made the right decision.
For myself.
For yourself. But I know, you use your computer, you made the right decision, but I think you also have an iPad in your future.
Yeah, iPad is compelling. Man, it's compelling. Okay, if you did buy, okay, that since 91% didn't buy it, I'm not going to read the next question.
Well, here's
question.
The thing, though, about the MacBook Air is...
Oh, here it is. They added a couple more questions.
Good.
Second question is, do you think buying iPads and Airs is an either-or decision? Meaning you either get one or the other.
No.
Yeah, and 73% of people said no.
Yeah.
So even though 95% did not buy one, 73% don't think that it's an either
Here's
or.
Here's the thing, though. For me, MacBook Air and iPad, I have, now that I have the iPad, I have no use for MacBook Air. But I will buy probably a 13-inch MacBook Pro.
Okay.
I do have one of those in my future for sure.
So you would like to have that because of the DVD?
I would still like to have a portable MacBook or a portable Mac that does everything. I like the storage capacity. I like the price and everything else.
13-inch MacBook Air is very portable.
Yeah, the CD isn't really that important, but burning a DVD can be nice if you want to make, do movies, and I do a little bit of that stuff. But really, it's not the features as much as it is the price.
Value.
Yeah, the price and all of that. And the fact that I won't need to take it everywhere because I have my iPad. So the lightness and all of those things that are so cool about
become secondary.
Yeah, they're not, in fact, they aren't important at all, really.
Right. Right, because you're an iPad owner.
When I travel, I'm never taking my notebook with me again.
If yes, would you rather have, if you think that it's an either or, would you rather have the iPad or the MacBook Air? 85% said they'd rather have the iPad.
If I had to do either or, it'd be iPad too.
Yep.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, now here's a good question. And this is really interesting. Does your iPad have built-in 3G?
No.
Yours does not.
Mine
and
doesn't.
That is the majority.
Yeah.
50, but it's close. 52% say no, 47% say yes.
Sometimes I think, it might be nice to have that, but as long as Android is so rootable, being able to turn on the Wi-Fi on your cell phone, I really don't have much need for it. Now, I can see if Android stopped being rootable, then it might be interesting, might be worth doing.
But right.
I don't know.
Did it's you hard. Consider buying an Android tablet before buying the iPad?
Slightly, but no.
Yeah, 87% said no.
Yeah.
Then they asked, what Android tablet would you want? And 80% says, none, I want an iPad.
Yeah.
But the highest one was the Motorola Zoom.
Yeah.
And then the 10-inch Samsung Galaxy Tab.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, is the screen size makes a big difference. And I, after playing with so many 7-inch devices and
you see the advantage of the 10.
I can see the advantage of the 10. And also the thinness of the iPad.
Right.
That's another thing, too, is if it was 10 inches but still, half an inch thick.
Okay, now you've been carrying the iPad 2 for...
Yeah.
Month and a half? Month?
Yeah, whenever month? It came out. Yeah, 2 months, something like that. Yeah.
Do you see a difference in it versus the one in terms of holdability?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, it's definitely, you think it's more comfortable?
It could certainly be lighter, but I think you'd sacrifice something if it became too much lighter. It would be more flimsy. It would be, they'd have to change the materials it's made out of. I think that it's the perfect weight for what it does.
And this is something we discussed on the radio show yesterday about the BlackBerry Playbook.
Yes.
Would you ever consider it over the iPad?
Not over the iPad.
Okay. 90% of people said no, they would not.
If it was $199 and I wanted an extra device and I didn't want to take my iPad into battle, maybe.
Into battle.
No, I wouldn't. I would never consider
it. Now, to transition to another tablet, which is now a tablet, is the Nook Color. From Barnes & Noble.
Yes.
I don't think we've had a chance to talk about it since, least on air.
I don't think so. We might have mentioned something. I think we might have mentioned something about it at some point, but we didn't really talk much about it.
Well, the price is staying $249.
Price is $249.
But they have now made it a full-blown tablet.
Exactly.
Now, it's not three. It's not the honeycomb.
No, it's not honeycomb. I don't know if it's 2.3 or 2.2, but it is basically what it is it's an update to the Android operating system that makes it so you can actually install Android apps and use it as an Android tablet. It gave it a lot of functionality. However, I still think you're dealing with a very slow processor. I don't even think it's, I don't know, we'll have to look. I don't want to guess what the processor is, but it's not the gigahertz processor you'll find in in most devices. And but it does have storage. It has the SD card storage and all of that, so you can still use it. It has a decent screen on it. I really think it's a good device, and I would really like to see them come out with a Nook Color 2 at the same price point with a little bit faster processor. I think the processor speed is the one thing that, you know,
holds it back.
Yeah, it holds it back a little bit, because I don't even think it'll really play Angry Birds well. It might, but I think
the interesting thing is I'm on their spec power. Page.
Yes.
And the spec page doesn't say anything about the processor.
Right. No, you'll have to go to somewhere like Android Central or one of the Nook Geek sites. I don't think they're going to
advertise it on there. And it is a 7-inch screen, which is kind of standard for readers.
It is standard, but it seems nice. I mean, it is a nice...
It's a pretty device, yes. It's
very, very thin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I really like the Nook Color. It's my number two tablet. I would be willing to sacrifice the processor speed for the convenience.
Okay, here we go. From AndroidTablets.net, the full specs of the Android Color are... It's the same processor as the Droid 2 and the Droid X, which is 800 megahertz.
800. Okay, that's what I would have guessed.
So it's an ARM at 800.
I should have guessed, because that's what I would have said. And so it's still a good enough processor for smartphones. So it will play Angry Birds, so that's good. But I just think that, you know, once you load a few apps on there, it's going to be kind of slow. Important. Well, it is, though.
Have you tried Tiny Wings yet?
No.
It's actually pretty fun.
Is it good?
It's actually pretty fun.
I got the coolest Frisbee game for my iPad the other day. That's actually been taking
my time right now. With a dog? A Frisbee with a dog? No, or?
You flick the Frisbee, and then you steer it. And I can say Frisbee because it's actually put out by Nito, by the Frisbee people.
Is it really?
It's free. But yeah, you just tilt it and steer the Frisbee through these obstacle courses.
Oh, okay.
And they have to hit these certain points in order to kick the Frisbee, you know, give it a gust of wind to keep it up in the air, so... It's a cool game.
So it uses the gyrometer.
Yeah, it uses the gyro and all of that. It's very cool. Yeah.
Interesting. Good graphics. Decent graphics.
Well, it looks like a Nintendo game. I mean, it's nice enough. Yeah.
Speaking of which, did you pick up the full package of the what games was it? The old
The Atari.
Atari.
I did download it. Pong is the only one that comes for free.
Okay.
I think it's $20 or $15, something like that, for all 96 of the games.
Right.
I haven't been able to justify that.
Yeah.
For one of the reasons is because Atari was a social, like one of the first social games. Well, not really. It was the next step beyond the board game. It was made to be a two-player game. The one-player stuff... I never really liked playing Atari one player, and I still don't like playing video games one player. So I don't see any reason to download them all on my iPad unless they find some way to make them two player. Which some
they
of them
don't
are.
They don't integrate with the Game Center or anything. They do, yet?
But I don't like playing with strangers either.
Yeah.
I like playing with people I know.
Oh, okay.
And I don't like getting to know people. I'm, you know. Basically I don't play video games that much. I enjoy passing
the time. You guys still have the Xbox, right?
Yeah, we still have the Xbox. Do the kids play it? Oh, yeah, they still play it a lot.
Do you play it much or no?
Not very much at all anymore. I'm too busy. But I can see doing it. But
the kids do still play it quite a bit.
You know, there's a game out there. This is for anybody. This is a rated E game, Xbox, PlayStation, any of those.
Nintendo.
That is really, really cool. Mm-hmm. It gets as close to being an educational game as you can without making it a boring educational game. It's a game called Portal. And there's Portal and Portal 2. Portal.
Like I've heard of this, I think.
Circle and the ship.
Okay.
But Portal is a very cool physics-based game. And it's since you use this gun to shoot these portals, you don't know bullets, no killing, no nothing. Mm-hmm. But you create these portals, and one portal lets you come into a room, and the other one lets you go out of a room. And wherever you make the first portal is where you go in. Wherever you make the second portal is where you come out. And I just go to YouTube and type in Portal or Portal 2, and you can take a look at it. But it is an incredible, incredible video game. I can't play it myself for more than 10 or 15 minutes because the physics kind of makes me feel nauseated a little. But but my son will play it hours on end, and... You know, it's really engaging because you have all these elements of physics. Some things make you go faster and some things make you go slower, and you have to count on gravity and all this stuff. It's a really, really cool game. So I'm very happy to see my son play in that one in it for a change. So
very cool.
It's a good game.
Okay, one last question on that survey.
Sure, you bet.
It said, if Rick Castellini had $600 or $700 extra dollars, should he get the iPad?
Yeah, absolutely. That'd be one of the first things I'd spend that money on. Yeah.
Well, you're the first one to answer that question.
Oh, okay. Well,
I can't tell you what other people voted for.
Okay.
What else do we have? And then we talked last night, so you have to listen to our KFM podcast. Yep. We talked in depth, well, as in-depth as you and I get.
We don't get
about
very
in-depth. The Skype and Microsoft deal.
Yeah.
And so if you are listening to this podcast wondering why didn't these dweebs talk about Microsoft and Skype, listen to the KFM podcast.
Or they might be saying, wow, I'm so glad they didn't spend very much time talking about that too. So we couldn't have two podcasts.
Because that iPad interview with Adam was just compelling.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was. I think a lot of people might learn from that.
It is interesting.
I think a lot of people might learn from that.
That's the thing is a lot, you know, we had that call one time from somebody while we were doing one of our other shows that they said, convince me to buy an iPad. And that's a dumb thing for me to, I can't convince you to buy an iPad, but if you say, I have this problem, would an iPad help or would an iPad make this easier or whatever, then that's a whole better, that's a much better question, much easier question to answer. But there are some amazing things you can do with the iPad. Learning especially. I think it's the greatest learning tool since the textbook. Or since the whatever. Blackboard.
The whiteboard. Pencil.
Pencil. Yeah. You name it. I mean, it is really cool. I get this app here. I'll suggest this one too.
Okay.
Okay. First of all, National Geographic World Atlas is pretty cool.
Is it?
It's
no a lot Google of statistics Earth. And...
No, it's just basically a very political map or geographical map.
Right.
But it's like what you'd use in school instead of Google Earth. Google Earth is cool, but it can be overwhelming if you don't know what you're after.
Right.
This is a very basic map. But the one I was going to mention is a new one called Tourist.
Does the National Geographic cost?
Yeah, this one does. Yeah, I think it does. I think it was like $2.
Okay.
So, but it was worth it. I think it's a cool app. Lots of learning. I could do a whole thing on educational stuff, but there's this one called Tourist.
Tourist.
T-O-U-R, and the new word, W-R-I-S-T. And these guys are going places. Right now, it's a fairly basic app.
Okay.
But it what they've done is you go through and they have photographers who take 360-degree, not just panorama, but spherical images and upload them. And so, like, I'll go just, well, you and I are talking, and they're all over the world.
Grand Junction? So, is there one in
Grand Junction? There's not one in Grand Junction. There's one in, there's one in, like, Arches.
Oh, okay.
There's one in Debec, of all places. But
there's one in Debec?
Yeah, there's one in Debec, because realtors are starting to use this app. Because what it does, it puts a pinpoint on the map of where you take these spherical pictures, and then it uploads the picture. So here...
Spherical or spherical?
Spherical. S-P-H-E-R-E-I-C-A-L.
I'm just giving spherical. You... I'm giving you...
Anyway, but then you load them, and then it uses the gyro to let you look at the picture.
Ooh, does it make you dizzy or no?
Check this out. It makes it like a window to another world.
Is that
world.
The wall in Mexico?
No, this is actually a nuclear power plant somewhere.
Oh.
But as you turn around, so you can go anywhere with that.
Oh, this says avoid. Did something you might have.
Oh, who knows? I probably bumped something I shouldn't. But anyway, but you can go.
No,
oh,
is here that we the, go. Can you shut it off and see, spin it with your finger?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Because that would get.
It's like a window to another world. But what it is.
I guess what that is if you were actually there, you'd be moving around
exactly.
in that kind of position.
Yeah. And the other thing, too, is like I said.
Free it's app or cost?
A free app.
Okay.
Free app, but not a lot of maps for it because they charge for the people to upload the pictures.
And so, I see. So that's where they make the money.
Yeah, they're actually trying to get a team of photographers. And what they're. Did you need me to go back into it?
No. Oh, okay. I found it.
They're getting a team of photographers together to hire themselves out to do this for realtors and for colleges and different organizations. And like I said, you upload $3.99 per picture, I think is what they charge to upload it. And you have to download the software and build it and all of that. But it's good. I can really see it being something. It's almost a business within a business. Because if you were a photographer, you could go and charge realtors to do this for their properties. And they'll even build you third-party apps and everything for you if you want. So if you wanted to create a Rick Castellini's clients app, go into their houses and take spherical pictures of all the insides of their houses, you could do that.
This is someplace way out in somewhere in the deserts of Nevada.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Very interesting.
Isn't it cool?
Yeah, very
interesting. It's just interesting enough.
And it does work better using the gyro than using your finger.
Yeah. The finger is really slow.
Yeah.
But the gyro is cool. It, like I said, it's like a window to another world. You can spin around and look, and it's so responsive.
Very cool.
I wish they would let you turn
it. Now, how'd you find this particular one?
I always go through the apps, the recommended apps, the like the staff favorites or whatever.
I do that occasionally as well.
Or the
iTunes Sometimes store. They don't have good ones.
No.
But a lot of times they do.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
I just watch for new things to come across that sound interesting. So.
Okay, now, I've asked you this before.
Yes.
The cover.
Yeah.
The smart cover.
Yeah.
Worth it?
They're starting to come out with more third-party ones that are a little nicer.
Oh, okay.
I like the smart cover in that it turns it off when you close it.
Right.
But really, all it takes to do that is a magnet. So, you know, if I take the magnet from the opposite side of the smart cover and I hold it over, you'll see the power kind of still freak out. So yeah. It's just a magnet. So any manufacturer could do that. Certainly not worth $40.
But do you use it for the stand and everything?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. I mean, it's an interesting little thing.
But all of them, any cover you get will be a stand.
Uh-huh.
Here's the bad part about it is if you decide that you want to put this into vertical mode, there's really no way of keeping it vertical. So, in other words, if I want to use the keyboard...
I thought it did work that way.
Well, it works like this. I mean, yeah, it stands up if you want to keep it like that. But if you want to use the keyboard while you have it vertical...
Right, it won't work with that stand.
It doesn't work, yeah. Right. So, that's dumb. And I prefer... Because I do use it vertically sometimes with certain apps, so...
For typing?
Yeah, but I don't... That's what I mean. It's hard to type on the screen to do it. But there are times I can't remember. Oh, like when I'm reading my college textbooks and making notes, I'll have those in vertical. So I read it. So the page is vertical,
oriented
for the page. I make a note in the app.
You did a whole semester with just digital books this year.
Yeah, I did have one. I did end up having to buy one book. But yeah, it was my books were all digital.
How did it go?
It worked okay, but there's pros and cons to both. I found myself wishing I had both.
Really?
Like when I had a question and like one of my classes was on mass media law, and you have a case, you know, Bob versus Johnson or whatever. It was very cool to just be able to type in the name of the case and have it find it right away, go straight to where it is.
Right.
On the other hand, when I'm making notes and I want to be able to find the notes again, you know, it wasn't near as easy as being able to just have Post-its in my.
But do they not have a list of the notes like in the Kindle?
Well, they do, but it still is like it's you know when a lot of taking notes for me is sticking the Post-its on certain parts of the page,
right?
Or certain colors of Post-its for certain types of things, and it's so convenient to just thumb through a book and go, you know, and find the page that you want.
Right.
Whereas with a digital book, you can't thumb through it really quickly. You can
Did you come up with some strategies to figure out how to put the beginning of a note, like blue?
Yeah, it helps. I mean, it helps to do those things, but there's still something about tangible pages that you know, dog earing pages, underlining stuff,
now, here's drawing an interesting notes thing in your
margins, things like that.
My daughter is an aspiring writer.
Okay.
And she's written two novels in the past couple of years.
Okay.
Both of them are very good.
Cool.
And I told her we should try to get the... I think I talked about one of them.
Yep.
And I said, we should try to get these digitally published.
Sure.
On Amazon. She won't do it.
Really? Why?
She won't do it. She says, I will not support the closing down of libraries and books. She said, books are too important to me. And
sure.
I want a physical book. And if I'm going to publish, I want to be in a physical form.
Okay. Wow.
So I thought that's kind of funny coming from a 19-year-old, technologically savvy person.
Yeah.
And I tried to get a Kindle for her.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want one. She likes books.
Sure.
And she likes to see them on her shelf. She likes to pull them off her shelf.
I hear that a lot.
She likes to smell them.
Yeah.
And so I think it's kind of interesting because a lot of people think that young folks are all about the digital stuff.
Right.
From top to bottom.
Yep.
But they aren't necessarily. Nope. And they really aren't.
I still enjoy books. I love having a book anywhere that I might sit down in the house and read.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I really enjoy having the book. But most of my reading during the day, my reading has improved over the course of my life so much because of the internet, because I'm sitting there reading other stuff all the time.
Right.
And sometimes I get a glimpse of how far I've progressed in my writing and my reading over the course of the past 5 or 10 years that amazes me.
So. Right. Very, very crazy. Well, Mr. Adam.
Yeah.
since it's my last day in town for a few days.
Yeah, you better
days,
take off.
I need to get the day started.
Yep.
And I think we should call this podcast to a close.
Sounds
I think
good.
It was kind of fun. We kind of did something a little different today.
Yeah.
Again, thanks. The 10 things to know in tech. It's a great little newsletter.
Yeah.
They really do. Every day there's at least one interesting out of those 10.
Yep.
And sometimes the bonus is kind of fun.
Very cool.
But yeah, thanks. And it was fun learning more about the iPad. And I'm amazed at how many people are getting them.
Yeah.
You know, I'll come to a client's house and they have an iPad.
Yep.
And it's just real interesting. People are picking them up.
And here's the other thing is generally they're not calling you with problems with them.
No.
Probably.
No, they want to learn about them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a lady the other day. She tried to sit down and work with it, and she just was a little bit apprehensive about just jumping in.
Uh-huh.
So I helped her get her email set up, showed her how to use the calendar, and her eyes just got bigger and bigger for the whole hour. And we didn't even really get into – I put a few of the app. The thing that I always put for all my smartphone customers or the tablets is Google.
Yeah, right.
The Google app.
Right.
So they can do things with their voice.
Sure.
And that just blows them away.
Yeah.
It just always blows them out of the water. You know, I do recipes and weather and, you know, different little things that you would use search the web for. And show them how to use their voice. And that always... Oh, speaking of voice, before we go off. And you may have saw it in our 10 things to know about tech.
I didn't look at it today.
But, so, Well, it was a couple days ago.
Oh, okay.
Apple is, according to this rumor, there's always rumors, but Apple is in working really closely with Nuance, who are the makers of Dragon Naturally Speaking.
Interesting.
And supposedly in the next version of the iOS, which will be iOS 5, they are going to integrate voice in a big way.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's old news for Android users.
Yep.
But we'll see.
That's
see what
cool.
happens.
Interesting.
I guess they thought about buying Nuance, but Nuance is such a big company.
Yeah. They're tied into so many things that I don't think Apple would want to get involved with that.
And they just want the voice recognition. So they're going to go with the collaboration versus purchasing. Yep.
I'm sold on voice command, telling your computer what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Not sold, and I don't know if I ever will be, on voice recognition.
Boy, why not?
Because I see it mess up. Because my wife's a medical transcriptionist.
But that's a real specific type of voice recognition.
You're very true.
Yeah.
That's very true. But that is voice recognition at its pinnacle.
Yeah.
That is, you know, that's what they're trying to make it to where you can say anything and talk as yourself and have your computer recognize what you're saying. We are so far from that.
And
that
I will say, too, that you and I have been broadcasting for a long time.
Right.
So we work on enunciation and being clear and
believe
that kind of thing.
Not, yes.
We try.
Yeah.
We try. And so that does translate a lot more positively into voice recognition.
Exactly.
But again, Google did their very clever thing a couple of years ago with their 1-800 number.
Yeah.
Where they had people call in and ask for information. So they got a whole broad spectrum of voices and ages and accents.
Oh, it's far beyond anything I ever thought it would be from those early
days.
But
I agree with you that we still are a ways out.
It's got a long ways to go because it's not just recognizing the words, but recognizing the intent and the punctuation and all of that
and
behind
the
words.
What do they call that? That's the Turing test kind of thing, where machines can get close.
Yep.
But really interpreting voice, there's a lot to go to it.
It's so far away.
Yeah. Inflections, the cadence, the everything.
Yeah.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
But I guess I like it being selfish for me because it works well for me.
Right.
And so, but I want it to get to the point where I can do an entire email on my iPhone
or
on my
mobile device. Though. I think we're close to that. Writing an email, you know, that sort of stuff, I think we're close to. But just sitting down and saying, patient came into me today and he saw this blah, blah, blah. I'm trying to get through it quickly.
How about,
I don't think that's going to happen.
Like even translating our podcast into a transcript.
It could get close, but the fact that you just stumbled over those words is something that's going to mean that you're going to have to go back and edit it.
That's right.
And why, and
that's
with
the part.
Transcriptionists can just listen to that and know that they're not supposed to type it. And
or
then
if they
just
hear
keep
both
going.
Of us talking,
right?
They can they can discern both voices.
Exactly,
a human can.
Yep.
But if they hear both of us going back and forth, that probably confuse the heck out of
so
voice recognition.
We're so far away from that. 10 years away from that, I bet.
So those, what are those little ladies called that work? Not always ladies. I'm being a little sexist there, yeah. But that work in the law office, in a courtroom.
Yeah, the stenographers.
Yeah, the stenographers. Yeah. So they got a job for a little while.
They're going to be around for a long time, I think. Yeah.
For a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And in a long time, meaning 5 years, 10 years.
Another 10 years, I think, yeah. At least. What I do see maybe happening is that you have individual people being their own stenographers or something mm-hmm. like that. That could happen. But I don't think that they'll have just a microphone recording everything that's said and automatically transcribing it. I don't think it's going to happen.
Okay. You heard it here first.
There you go. Yep.
All right. Well, we're
going to close the show again.
Let's close the show. Appreciate you listening. Listen to the last night's KFM podcast, which would have been the 10th.
Yep.
Or 11th. What's today? Today 12th or 11th?
Today is the 12th.
Okay, so it would have been the KFM May 11th podcast where we did talk a lot about Microsoft and Skype.
Right.
And if you're wondering whether or not you think Skype is going to charge you for your free Skype stuff, listen to the podcast and find out.
Yep.
All right. Thanks, Adam. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Find out more at helpmerick.com or talkingdigital.org. You'll find all these podcasts and previous podcasts there.
Isn't that much at all?
I use Flipboard. Flipboard brings in my news from Twitter. So all my Twitter people that talk, Flipboard still has a place, and it's a great way of finding random news, random stories, all of that stuff. Zeit is much more specific. It's about finding news about the topic that you're interested in.
Okay.
However, the one thing about Zeit that I've begun to realize as I've used it is it really pulls in a lot of information from blogs, the articles that people are writing. A lot of journalists writing, but you're not getting in a lot of CNN.coms and
USA stuff Today's like that.
Yeah, you're pulling in information, and I imagine that's because they don't want to get sued, or they have been sued, one or the other.
Well, you're right.
But it's pulling in a lot of stuff, which, the stuff that they're saying is relevant, but a lot of it fits into what I would call op-ed. What education needs to change about their this or that,
It's not about a study that the University of Wisconsin did.
But it does
did.
Pull in the reviews and stuff like that, the stuff that I'm still interested in, because everybody, reviews are op-ed, basically. Mm-hmm. So, it pulls in a lot of stuff that I still find relevant and interesting. People mm-hmm. find tools, like Help Me Rick. I mean, those types of sites coming through. So there's still a lot of really relevant, really interesting information coming through there, but it's not where I go to find out the day's news and something. It doesn't really help me when I go into technology. It gives me a lot of reviews, but it doesn't give me a lot of actual news of things that are happening. So that's one thing I've noticed with Zeit, but it doesn't keep me from using it at all.
Very cool. Yeah, I don't think there's been anything else huge on the horizon come up in the news the last few weeks. One thing I mentioned yesterday on the radio show is it still amazes me, as much as we've seen it year in and year out and get even more so the last few years, there's no company around today that can create as much free publicity as Apple.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that is just a phenomenon in itself. And I'll bet there's economic courses out there that are in marketing courses that study that.
Right.
That are saying, this is what they're doing. How are they doing it?
Right.
I see you're having trouble with your iGoogle again.
It's doing something weird.
Is it the computer or is it the iGoogle?
No, it's the computer. That's interesting.
That won't affect our recording, huh?
Nope. No, because we record directly into the hard drive here.
Right. I forget that that's not... That you go into the computer as an afterthought.
Right.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, let's see. We're talking about Apple making money.
There was something about Apple's publicity.
Yeah, Apple's publicity. Have you seen, there's a video on the web. Look real quick for the golden circle.
The golden, that doesn't sound.
I know, it sounds scary.
That sounds scary.
But I think you'll find the right thing.
Okay.
It should be a TED.
Anytime I hear it should be like golden.
It should be like a TED video. My speakers were down, but that's not going to.
That's okay.
That's my internal speakers.
Is it Simon Sinek?
Yeah, that's it. Simon Sinek. Golden Circle, the video. He does this thing. You got to watch it. Really cool.
Is he from Iceland?
He's kind of like,
There's a popular tourist route in South Iceland.
Oh, yeah. No, this is Simon Sinek. That's the right guy. Which is a cool last name.
Those who know why. All organizations and careers function on three levels.
Yeah. And he's actually analyzed Apple and all these companies. He's kind of a Seth Godin type guy. So, he's a marketing guy and all of that. But I've learned that some of these marketing guys really know what they're talking about. Yeah, it's really minimalist. Cool. Really cool. But his video on there, he talks about that. He says, you know, how do you get Hewlett-Packard and Apple, both of which have all the money, both of which have all the resources, both of which, you know, they all technically are Sony. They should all be doing the same thing. But the difference is that Apple starts with why. It's like they say, this is why we want to make beautiful things, right. Basically. That's what we love. We love making people happy and making beautiful things. We just happen to use computers to do it, and that brings us money. It doesn't start with, we want to make money.
Yeah, he's got why, how, so we're gonna what. Make,
yeah. So he says, it doesn't start out with the what, or you know, the how, or whatever. We're going to make money by making computers, and people will be happy. He doesn't do it that way. He does it, you know, starts out with center, like, what do you like to do? You like to make people happy, you know, you're going to make computers and all that. So it's really interesting. And he talks about the Wright brothers. There's a really cool section there. He talks about the Wright brothers and somebody who the government had commissioned to come up with the first airplane and all the work the Wright brothers would do, that they would carry extra stuff with them up the hills to jump off, so that when the plane crashed, they'd be able to rebuild the plane in the field and all that. They had no money. Mm-hmm. They just desperately wanted to do this thing because they love the idea of being able to fly airplanes. This other guy had all the money behind him, everything. And then what they talked about was, as soon as he got that plane, as soon as the Wright brothers got their plane to fly, the other guy just gave up, just quit. And just because his heart wasn't in it, he didn't really, you know, he was only doing it to satisfy the government to make the money that he needed. And I think it's a really interesting analysis of things. And I think it's fairly accurate. I mean, like I said, there is a lot of, you can always use it as a cop out
for not working
and stuff like that. I haven't read his book yet.
I might have to get that as an ebook.
I did get Seth Godin's Linchpin,
and
that's very good.
Is it?
It's very good. Now, see, again, I'm not one of these guys who buys into every marketing motivational speaker. You know, I'm not a Tony Robbins guy or anything like that. But Seth Godin does have a cool way of looking at things, and he does have a cool way of pointing out things that are obvious right in front of you and showing you why things are the way they are. And a lot of his
I always
books,
get Seth Godin.
Seth Godin's the bald guy with the glasses.
But I always get him mixed up with the other Seth that's the movie guy.
Oh, he's Seth Rogen. Yeah, that's different. Yeah.
Quite different
people. I've mixed those two up before, too. But anyway, it's interesting. The Linchpin book is really cool. It's a good one. I'd say it's a little bit different than the rest of them because it's less... Some of his books borderline the Seth Godin religion, where he... You know, you have these people who follow him around and who are fanboys of Seth Godin. Mm-hmm. But this book's pretty interesting. I mean, it's really about...
Do you have to read it for school or you just get
no,
it?
No, I just found it at Borders and it was on their $2.99 on their last day or whatever.
That was a
whatever.
Very sad thing.
Yeah, it
watching was. That be dismantled.
Did you see the picture I posted of the Borders? It wasn't here. I retweeted it. But somebody posted up a sign that they found on a Borders that was closing down. Mm-hmm. And it says, restrooms not available, try Amazon.com on their front doors.
Oh. Put a little sour grapes there.
Yeah, no kidding. So that was pretty cool. So.
Although I did notice, I only went in there once during their closing. And I had to use a restroom. And there were stickers on the restroom, on all the different implements in the restroom that people had bought.
Yeah. Yeah.
So they literally sold everything.
Stripped out. Yeah. Wow. It was really interesting. But I thought it was funny that I even heard people comment on it because we went in about every other week while they were closing because we'd buy stuff for school. But they had to get to 40% off before their books started
selling.
There were some people who saw 20% off, and so they went and bought the book because, heck, it's 20% off.
Right.
I have my little Amazon scanner on my cell phone. I pick it up, scan it, do the math.
Still too high.
Realize that, you know, to buy it on Amazon, it would be $32, and 40% off at Borders was still $36.
Oh, wow.
So it's, you know, or something like that.
Shows you why it failed, right?
Yeah.
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 Just too high a price, for sure.
Crazy, crazy. Well, Adam, anything else you can think of?
Yeah, I don't have anything else here. Did you?
I can't think of any other rants to go on at the moment. I feel like this is a strong show.
Yeah, I think so too.
People will speak and tell us what they think. But we appreciate people listening. You can find us at helpmerick.com or talkingdigital.com or any of the social networks using those monikers. So thanks for listening. Have a great week.
Thank you.